T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio WEEI. It's Christian Arcan, Megan Onalini here on Boston Sports Original. Nice to have you with us here today. Be joined by Brian Scalabrine in about 30 minutes. We'll get the White Mamba's take on all things Celtics lately, including Jaylen Brown, who was back at practice and should be good to go tomorrow against Golden State.
Dude, big game tomorrow night.
Big Celtics game tomorrow night.
I want to talk about that. We'll talk baseball. Though.
We'll get to that right after we get to this.
Because this is huge news.
Big news.
Oh, my God.
Your Boston Red Sox not taking the Trevor Story injury lying down. No. They're active. High and Bloom, active. Going out there and signing free agent outfielder Adam
Duvall.
That is right. Adam Duvall.
Wow.
Formerly of the Cincinnati Reds, the Atlanta Braves. Played somewhere else, too. I forget. But
yay.
Power hitter. Sometimes. I'll tell you what. I like this move when I saw it.
You do?
I know you're sarcastic clapping, but I like this move. I like Adam Duvall.
Like, get up for this. Get I jump out of my chair?
Well, it's not a bad move, right? I mean, like, what?
It's a filler move.
Is it?
It's a move that you made because you need to reshuffle around the entire infield. Now Kike can go to shortstop and where he hasn't even played. Like, he'll be playing out of position.
True.
For most of the season.
But you added a potential 30 home run hitter, maybe more. I mean, he profiles well at Fenway. You know, that's what everyone's saying. Mm-hmm. Although, what batter has ever come to Fenway and someone's like, wow, this guy's really going to suck at Fenway?
Exactly.
It's never happened ever in the history of
baseball. Normally, it's the opposite. It's like, oh, this guy's going to mash. He's going to wear out the monster. Then he slugs for 350.
Luckily, they play all their games in Fenway.
Right. But just once, I'd like some hitter to get signed here and have everyone go, man, this guy just bat wrong for Fenway. He's not going to do well
about
here.
Fenway.
Hits everything to the triangle.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing he does. But he's 34 years old. As of right now, if they're moving Kike into the infield, like you said, which is what I think a big part of this is, big part of the reason why they signed him, that means that he's now your starting center fielder. So you got Verdugo in left, Yoshida in right, and now here's Adam Duvall in center field. And I'll tell you what, I think that there's much worse moves they could have made, but I also think 1 year, $7 million for a guy who hit 38 home runs not too long ago, a little suspicious there, right? Like, that seems like a bargain, doesn't it? Like, maybe almost too good of a deal.
Almost like nobody else wants him.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of like not much of a market, maybe. But, I mean, we're not talking about a guy who sucks. I mean, on-base percentage hasn't been great. You know, he's more of an Adam Dunn type, maybe, than a Xander Bogaerts.
Not a traditional burner on the base path.
I'll say he fits in with this team. We'll put it that way.
1 year, guys, kind of slow and crunchy looking.
I don't know. This is why I'm not, like, jumping out of my chair about this signing, is that I really do feel like it's just a filler signing. You're trying to solve part of the puzzle that is your team falling apart because of what happened with Trevor Story following what happened with Xander Bogaerts.
Right.
And you're a worse team right now, I think, than you were last year. And you weren't good last year. So tell me where, like, what the improvement is with this. It solves an issue that you created for yourself in the offseason.
True, although Trevor Story going down, they didn't create that. That just happened.
No, but that became an issue because you couldn't sign Xander.
Right. But which was the issue you'd have that to replace Story last either way. Year. You'd have to replace Story's production either way, even if Bogarts was still here, and it does partially do that. I think if Duvall stays healthy, which he doesn't always, and he's been traded a bunch. Like, I mean, he's a guy who's been on the move a few times, considering his numbers. So he can sort of provide that pop. You look at the lineup, there's not much there. That's sort of why I like it. Like, it's really slim picking. So you put a bopper in that lineup anywhere, and all of a sudden I feel like you've improved it, like, considerably. Like, that's why I like it. Other than that, I mean, yeah, they still have plenty of work to do, but I consider this a net positive move. I'm not going to rip it too much. The only thing I'd say is that in a couple of years here, you're going to have a lot of DHs on this team, assuming he sticks around. I don't know if it's just a one-year thing, but him, Justin Turner, Rafael Devers, like, you already got DHs.
It's such a meh move on a meh team in an incredibly competitive division. So I just don't know. This is Chaim Bloom's Red Sox. This is where you're at, where this is the news that comes down and you're like, great, another like middling move. You're sitting on the fence again. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to get excited about this.
Oh, here's your sunny side, is that at the very least, this probably means that guys that you were relying on to be starters in your outfield, and I'm looking at you, Jarren Duran, and even though he did have a good season despite no expectations, I'm looking at you, Rob Refsnyder, these are guys that are going to be coming off the bench for you. You don't need to rely on Duran and Refsnyder to actually help your team win if they're on the bench. I'd feel a lot better knowing that. I mean, and I'm not even sure if Duvall is your starting center fielder. Maybe they move around. I mean, he's played 75 games in center field. He's more of a traditional left fielder. I don't know. Maybe they move Verdugo. Maybe it's, you know, Verdugo, Masataka Yoshida, and Duvall. I feel a lot better than that, as opposed to if we're putting Jarren Duran and Rob Refsnyder out there as your day one starters.
Where did you grab 75? Because I think I saw 55.
That's very possible. I was looking at the wrong part of
baseball
reference. He's
only played 55 in center.
I have, like, 75 games in three seasons.
Center field? Yeah. I think I see that too, yeah.
All right, then this article has it wrong.
Either way, it's not a lot. I mean, it's not a lot of experience there. But
as opposed to 566 games in left field.
Sure, but he's also a pretty good defensive fielder. I mean, that's part of his scouting report, is that he does provide that kind of defense. I'll tell you what I like the most about this signing. One thing that sort of bothered me about inking Devers to all that money was that there's no protection in the lineup for him. This provides that, finally. And you lose Bogarts, you lose Story. Those are guys who, you know, with Devers batting before and behind them, at least you got to throw him something. Right now, you don't have to throw anything to Rafael Devers. Devers, you can walk him every single time. You're not going to miss anything, but now maybe not with with Duvall and his big bat there. Now, Duvall's had some tough years from a batting average perspective.
I like how you keep going back to that. You're like, there's been some lean times.
There has.
He's been traded a lot.
Even recently, there's, I mean,
The market out there doesn't seem to exist.
What, he hit like 220, like, last
year
or something?
That's the other thing.
He hit 213
last year. Jeez, all right, not great. But so did Kyle Schwarber. Like, he had a bad average last year too. And you want Schwarber on your team, right? I mean, we all were mad that he left. So I see that as a similar move. I think this is good. I like this. I'm glad that they
did this. It's a clean slate for him here.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so, like, I'm not going to say that he's going to come in here and suck or anything. I just feel like this is an incredibly predictable Chaim Bloom, and you talk about it doesn't seem like there was much of a market there. Well, that plays into Chaim's hands because he doesn't know how to read the market. Because he can't, you know, like, he doesn't know when to take a big swing or not. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, this makes sense in the short term. Find the solution for the problem that you created. Woo!
1 year, $7 million. That really screams of prove it deal.
It's a band-aid.
You know,
like, it's a band-aid.
Let's see what you still got.
Keeping it together. And if he proves it, then he's going to want money, and you're not going to get that here. So
that's true.
Go somewhere else.
Good luck out there, Adam. Glad you could come by and prove it. I wonder why he needs to prove it. I wonder why that's the only market for him right now. Maybe there's something
he's
we
34,
don't know. Yeah.
And he was injured last year with a sprained right wrist.
Right, yeah, he banged into the wall or something, I think, making a catch.
Okay, maybe we don't put him in left field then.
Yeah, big wall right there.
Which is where a lot of baseball players apparently go to kill their careers, is left field at Fenway Park. Looking at you, Blake Swihart and Hanley Ramirez.
Your outfield now, Verdugo with Duvall and Yoshida. How do you feel about that?
Feel all right about Yoshida, I guess. Like, again, I'm not going to say that it's a clean slate there, so I'm not going to be like, oh, he sucks. It's just, I don't know. What more can you say about this? It's the most meh to suck team in the city right now.
I think
now.
We're really tempering our expectations of what this team is going to be in 2023. Now 2024, all these guys coming off the book, look out, sky's the limit. But, I mean, this is starting to feel like, despite the fact, like, okay, you've re-signed Rafael Devers. We're all very happy about that. But you're not going to have Trevor Story to start the year. And for at least a couple of months, it's starting to feel kind of like a bridge year.
A bridge year?
It's feeling like a bridge year.
Bridge to nowhere. Yeah, it's a for it to be a bridge year, there has to be something on the other side coming. Like,
yeah,
what's coming on the other side?
Prospects coming. Prospects.
Okay, that's a long bridge.
Yeah, it's a 1 year bridge.
It is.
No,
why else would they be signing guys to 1 year contracts?
Because
they're going to blow it up and hope that the guys that are in the farm system are going to be good next year in 2024. That's why it's a bridge year. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say about this team.
What was last year?
A bad year.
Okay.
They had to start the bridge.
They tanked out. They had to, you know, apparently move on from people.
Turner was a 2-year contract, right? Justin Turner was 2 years, I think. So maybe the bridge is 2 years or something like that. But I think that, it was 2 years, 22. So, like, you might be onto something there. Maybe they're just trying to clear up more space. I feel like they've done enough of that. And why, if that's what you're doing, give all that money to Rafael Devers? Like, that's still what I'm sort of hung up on.
Well, outside of third base and second base, there's nobody else that you want to commit to long term. I mean, are we going to do Alex Verdugo when he's in the last year of his arbitration? Are we going to look to break the bank on him? Probably not. So, yeah, you've got two positions that you're settled on. You've got some decent pitchers coming up that it's still big question marks as your Bayos and Winkowskis and whatnot. So, yeah, you got a lot of positions you got to
feel. Remember Bayo Day last year?
I remember
the biggest day of the summer at the park. How
he
did
has
that go?
Turned it around, though. He's going to be a super exciting pitcher.
When?
This year. I will put money on that.
How many wins?
How many wins? Well, first of all, wins do not even matter in baseball.
That's
anymore.
Not what I asked you. I asked how you how many wins.
Hold on. Is that Chaim Bloom
I'd say 15
through
to
your
20.
Body?
15 to 20.
15 to 20, but they don't matter.
I mean, they don't. Like, as a statistic, they do not matter for measuring a pitcher's success.
Not directly. I'll agree with you there. But I do think they give you a bit of an idea what kind of pitcher you got. It's not always true. I remember King Felix won the Cy Young 1 year. He only won like 13 games. But I just, you know, Brian Bayo, first of all, he's going to make that many starts. And second of all, I think he's an exciting pitcher too, but I don't know if he's ready to start putting up 15, 20 win seasons yet. I hope I'm wrong. I'd like to see Bayo. I'd like to see a lot of guys on this team.
Well, you need them because otherwise you're back to relying on Chris Sale and James Paxton. And I'm like,
you're doing that anyway.
You guys can do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit and go, oh boy, I can't wait for Chris Sale to be the day one starter. And then we found out that, you know, he fell down the stairs getting his DoorDash or some crap like that. I'm kind of done crossing my fingers, hoping that the veterans of this pitching staff are going to be there when you need them. It's time to look to the future.
You know what my favorite is?
What's that?
When Sale gets hurt. And then they find his like return date, and it's right around the trade deadline. And it's like, well, we don't even need to make a trade because
Chris
Sale's coming back. That's like what trade could we make that would even be better than that? That happens all the time. That drives me insane.
It's happened the last two summers. It's not happening again. It's a different beast.
Really hope not. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after trending here with Ryan Garvin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You see how happy I am?
Listen to James Brown?
No, because we get to talk about basketball now.
Well, there you go. I didn't realize. I didn't know. I thought you were just a big James Brown fan.
I do like James Brown.
Who doesn't like James Brown?
Morons.
That's right. I'll tell you what. I guarantee you Brian Scalabrine likes James Brown. He's going to be joining us here in about 10 minutes. We'll talk with him. In the meantime, let's take a quick Celtics phone call here because I do want to get into something that has been rumored now, which is devastating potential news for Megan Ottolini. That is a team has been sniffing around her son,
mm-hmm.
her son Peyton Pritchard,
what?
looking for a trade potential.
Turn that nose around.
We'll go to Matt in Rhode Island first, though. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I could just put you guys dancing around the studio when that rejoin came on, and it made me happy too.
Very good.
So, Golden State tomorrow night. I've had this circled on the calendar since the Celtics were rolling when we went into their at Golden State, and they got pretty much beat up. So if Jaylen Brown's going to be back tomorrow night, I'd like to really see them like kind of just bring him on slowly. And
we're losing you there, Matt. Right, thanks for
Matt,
the call.
Cut out there. The news is Jaylen Brown participated in practice today. And obviously you want him for the Warriors game tomorrow night. But I agree, don't rush him along. When Jaylen has an injury, it can really derail him mentally for a couple weeks. It kind of takes him out of the mix. It takes him out of his groove. We've seen it in past seasons.
Yep.
Like, out of all of the guys who get injured, for some reason, it seems to throw him off more. He has an adductor strain. Which
I hate when I strain my adductor.
Yeah, it's the inner part of your thigh. It connects to, like, your hip and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, not a serious injury. Not like it's going to... But don't let it get worse. Don't let him compensate with something else.
Right.
And get a hip injury or something.
And that's the thing is, in the past, you've seen Brown in particular, he gets injured. And sometimes they compound on themselves. He had the knee. He had the wrist that one year. I mean, there was plenty of instances where you're sitting there going, man, I hope that whatever injury he's dealing with right now is not something that's going to bother him later down the road. And I feel like there's been a bunch of times that we've brought that up. Now, maybe that's not going to matter. Maybe it will. We'll see. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on here as Jaylen Brown just so integral to what this team does. Then there's this. This is from B-Rob over at Mass Live. Peyton Pritchard's lack of consistent playing time in the Celtics rotation has unsurprisingly led to a number of playoff teams inquiring about the availability of the guard, including the defending champion Golden State Warriors. Despite these overtures, Celtics have shown no interest in trading him, according to multiple sources, with Pritchard re-entering Boston's rotation during the past week following Jaylen Brown's injury. I know that you are not the person that can give a clear,
unbiased.
Conscious, unbiased.
No, I can. I'm a professional.
Peyton Pritchard. First of all, I sort of agree with this. I think he's too good to be buried at the bottom of this bench. I think that there's value there. Whether that value is on this team or in the trade market is for the Celtics to figure out. But I do think that something needs to give there at some point.
Yeah, I'm curious what the Celtics specifically are looking for in getting back for him. Whether it's a wing or another backup big man behind Allen, Rob Williams, and like someone who you can squeeze in ahead of Luke Kornet, I guess, that would be really strong defensively. But with Peyton, it's just you have such depth at the guard position, mm-hmm. to the point where unless somebody is injured and out of the rotation, he's not seeing any meaningful minutes. And I think that's difficult for a young player like him to get into a shooting groove. And even like his position as being some kind of, you know, sniper from the 3-point line or elsewhere on the court, it has been, you have Hauser in there who has really taken over that role at times and then, you know, slumps like that position does. He just doesn't have a clear role on the team at this point. And it's unfortunate because you've seen him in previous seasons. Sometimes, like last season, he was off to a little bit of a slow start and fell out of the rotation at times, and then was able to come back and, you know, play meaningful minutes in the playoffs and everything. But I think it's more just they know he's a good player, and so they're looking to get the best return on investment without screwing up their locker room.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense, and that's sort of what most teams in this kind of position look to do. The only team that I've seen the Celtics interested in trading with is the Spurs for Jakob Poeltl for some reason. I don't know why, but I keep seeing that name.
That's the big man move.
Jakob Poeltl, yes. Spurs guy is averaging about 12-9, I want to say. Been around the league a little bit. Fine player, I guess, but I don't know. Is that who you think the team need? I think they need a wing. I think they need a wing before they need Jakob Poeltl. And, you know, he's a fine player, but, like, if that's who you're looking to trade for, I would go in a different direction if it was up to me. I think you need someone there to spell Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and these guys so that they don't get injured or don't get burnt out and don't have to play 38 minutes a night every single night, even in a blowout, because you don't have enough wings to put in the game. Like, that's sort of what I feel like they're at right now.
Yeah, the major concern is just the depth and when you get into the playoffs, knowing Al's age and that he can't play back-to-backs. Realistically, and then looking at Rob Williams, and really, you know, Rob, he's just irreplaceable. The athleticism that he brings to the court is just, Al Horford doesn't match it, and you're not going to find anybody to match it. But if something should happen to him, or if you need to manage his minutes towards the end of the season going into the playoffs, or you even have to manage him in the playoffs because he has another soft tissue injury or something like that, you need some kind of upgrade at that position over Luke Kornet. And I know you're not a huge Blake Griffin fan, so I'm surprised that that doesn't speak to you more.
It's not that I'm not a big fan. I just don't, you know, I mean.
You don't get it.
He's at the end of his career.
Yeah.
He's sort of playing out the string.
That's why they're looking at names like this.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
And he's kind of like a surprisingly athletic big guy when you watch his tape.
Blake or Poeltl?
Poeltl.
Okay.
Like, he can move a little bit. He moves better. I'll say this. He moves better than Kornet.
Well,
with the, what does he call it? The eclipse.
Yeah.
So,
the wacky,
you know,
waving inflatable arm flailing tuba.
It's not like a, it's not a blockbuster move, but it's not, they don't need to do that. You know what I mean? Like, they need to find some depth in very specific positions, but overall the team's in a really good place. So it's not like, it's not like they're going to have some kind of blockbuster trade.
I agree. They're in a good place. The only thing I would say is that the reason why you have to shore up is because you're right. I mean, there are these issues with the health of your big men. And there also may potentially be an issue with the health of one of your stars. And that's where the depth comes in most handy. I think right now they have a ton of depth of point guard, but they don't really need a ton of depth of point guard because Smart's been durable this year. And those other three guys are pretty durable, too, I feel. I know Brogdon's been hurt a couple of times. White seems like he's, you know, in pretty good shape. And I don't know, Peyton Pritchard, so long as he's here, I mean, he's going to go out there and play. Either way, I think that the Celtics are in fine shape, but it does sort of seem like some of this is hanging on by a little thinner of a thread than maybe people want to admit. You know, the big situation. And, you know, Brown goes down for more than a couple of days, and all of a sudden we're having maybe a different conversation here. And that's a realistic possibility. He gets hurt all the time. So, you know, I feel like things are great right now, and they're staying the course, and they should. But anything they can do to kind of shore up that depth, they should consider. And right now, there's a logjam of point guard.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you look around their conference, or even if you look around the league, if there's any team that's in a completely different position, you know, in terms of one or two injuries really throwing them out of balance. Just look at Brooklyn and who did better without their star, one of their stars there.
Indeed.
It was
all
the
Celtics. Right. Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around the joys of food. Your friend and mine, the White Mamba, Brian Scalabrine, joins us here on the program. Scal, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. I hope you had a nice nice trip down to Charlotte with all the good eating down there. It looked like you guys were having a good time. And now you're back for probably one of the bigger games of the year, Golden State Warriors tomorrow night. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this one. How are these Celtics, who have been playing so well lately, looking at this game? I'm sure it's one they've had circled for a very long time.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, anytime a team knocks you out of the playoffs, it's a rival. Beating the Celtics on their home court in the NBA Finals, obviously there's a bad taste in your mouth. And the Celtics also got to make sure that have an avenge loss, you know, to the regular season game, where you know the Boston Celtics having a much better season than the Golden State Warriors. But on that one day, whenever it was, when they went to Golden State, like, Golden State manhandled the Celtics. They were physical. They moved the ball. The Celtics were just running in mud. So, yeah, I'm sure that this is a big day, and I'm sure the crowd will be ready to go, and it'll be an exciting night.
We saw reports from practice today that Jaylen Brown did practice. He spoke with the media after. Do you think he'll be available tomorrow night?
I hope so. You know, I always like when you're playing with the big games and that, you know, like, that you could have, you know, your best foot out there. I don't know if he'll be available, you know, like those type of things. Like, nowadays in the NBA, people don't want to risk it anymore. They don't want to re-aggravate the injury and miss another 3 weeks or anything like that. So, I mean, I hope he plays, but, you know, they'll make that decision once, you know, he goes to a shoot around and a warm-up and determine if he's ready to go.
Scal, the Warriors this year are really good at home and really, really bad on the road. Are you surprised to see that from such a veteran team that's accomplished so much?
Well, you know what? They're not a veteran team because they're relying on younger players.
True.
Yeah, you're right. Like, but if you look at, I think, and this was a week ago, you know how these stats, they move around. I think at one point, they're starting five with Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, and Kevon Looney. They were the best starting five in the NBA as far as net rating. But that could have dropped off because they have struggled a little bit more, like losing some home games since Steph came back and Wiggins. But Their bench just doesn't give them anything. And I think, like, you that team in particular, you know, last year you had Gary Payton II, kind of an older guy, Otto Porter, Bielitsa, Iguodala. Like, they just had, like guys who knew how to play basketball and guys who could play off of what they currently do. This year, they have younger guys. And I don't care, like, what type of coaching you had. If you're a young, up-and-coming, talented player, most of the time you have the ball in your hand, and now all of a sudden you go to the Golden State Warriors and you got to figure out how to play off the ball. And, you know, Jordan Poole is kind of a guy that's kind of stands out, but he's really inconsistent. Like, there'll be nights where he'll have 6-7 turnovers in a night, have, you know, shoot 18 shots and only get you 21 points. So they were just expecting more from those guys. But I can't, if you look at the Western Conference, I just can't quit the Warriors as saying they're not a championship caliber team. When you watch them, when they're at their best, when they're motivated, they could beat anybody. So I know that they're looking at it the regular season and they're just trying to navigate it. And I'm sure they'll kind of trend upwards. But as of right now, their struggles on the road to me were, I think they were expecting like the younger up and coming players to do more. And they're just not getting that night in and night out.
We're talking to Brian Scalabrine. Scal, how would you predict the rest of the season goes for Peyton Pritchard? Do you think he'll remain a Celtic? And if not, what are the Celtics looking for in terms of a return for a trade for him outward?
Yeah, so that's a good question from the standpoint of Peyton has been good when any of the Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Malcolm Brogdon, Marcus Smart, any of those guys are out, he gets the opportunity to play, and he has filled that role. I know how hard Peyton works, and he has success. He probably wants more of that. So when you say, like, looking for a return, it wouldn't shock me as we get closer to the trade deadline if the Celtics say, you know what, we're just going to try to do right by Peyton Pritchard, maybe get a little bit more size, like maybe a stretch four type of guy, and to come in. But remember, you still have to navigate, you know, the regular season. And I put Peyton Pritchard in the category of, if a few things happen, he could be called on in an NBA playoff game and he could deliver in an NBA playoff game. So it'll be an interesting thing to see if they sort of do right by him and give him opportunity to play at a different place, or if they just tell him, like, listen, we drafted you, you're in the contract, we never know what's going to happen, but we just really trust that whatever you can bring to the table, if something were to go wrong, an injury or any type of thing that could happen throughout a playoff run, we want you to be there. So I'm kind of curious on how it plays out as well.
You said do right by him. Do you have any indication that Pritchard is not happy in his current role with the Celtics?
Well, I mean, yeah, and the indication would just be knowing the NBA and where he's been and you know, what he wants out of this league. I mean, I'm sure as happy as Peyton Pritchard is being on the Boston Celtics and all that stuff, every young player wants to play. And right now, right about this point, contract extensions and all that other stuff come into play. So maybe he hasn't demanded a trade, or maybe he's happy here in Boston. I would just assume that a young player as accomplished as him, his first 2 years, that he would want more.
Scal, what would you say about Joe Mazzulla's performance lately? Clearly the team's playing well. Are they responding to him?
Yeah, I think Joe's doing a great job, and I think the guys are settling into his coaching style. I think, you know, early on there was this like huge controversy about timeouts and stuff like that.
Right.
I think he has a much better feel on when his team doesn't have like the energy. Yeah, I think the Charlotte game is a good example of that. He banged two quick timeouts in the second quarter. After the second timeout, that was when Rob Williams came in. His energy was up. Everybody's energy was up from 5:40 left to go in the half. They went on a 36-14 run from that point. So I think he's getting like a better feel for that. But it's just like anything. Like, I know what he wanted to do early, wanted to force other coaches to call timeout, so it makes him lose them. But no, I think the guys have responded to him, and it, just like anything, he's getting more experience, and I think he's thriving in this role.
In that same, I guess, lane of thought, something that Jason Tatum said after a game a couple days ago stuck with me. He was talking about some of his fingers being banged up and taped, and that was something that he and Brad might fight about if he had to miss time for that. How much of a hand does Brad Stevens have in the day-to-day decisions with the team at this point, with Joe Mazzulla being the interim coach still?
I think you think that coaches decide who plays and who doesn't play from a load management standpoint. I think that's above. I even think that's above, like, even the coaches. Like, I think that might even be above Brad, to be honest with you. Like, I'm sure it's a collaboration, but there's like 10 sports scientists that are on our bus. And I'm just getting to know all their names. I've been here for like, 10 years. So like, they're all in the business of making sure they get the most out of the players. And so when you talk about an injury and stuff like that, is there rest days like kind of built in there? I mean, Tatum's going for an MVP, so I think it's a little bit different for him. He might have to push it a little bit more. It's just the way it goes. But Joe Mazzulla is not making probably decision on whether Tatum takes a load management day or not. You know what I mean? That's probably Brad Stevens, the sports science department, and probably even there's another, checks and balances before that I don't even know about.
So there's like 15 people deciding about Jason Tatum's fingers.
Yeah, basically. I hope they're all on the same page. But there's a lot that goes into it. Like if your finger's bothering you and your body is, like a little bit run down, and they have these checks and markers, like what's your resting heart rate? What's your elevated heart rate? What's your, like, all these things. These kids go to school for this. They can determine maybe if a player, it would be beneficial for a player and probably against a certain opponent to take a night off. So I think it's more than just Joe Mazzulla chewing the gum deciding, I think Tatum should take today off.
Gotcha.
That sounds miserable, honestly, for Joe Mazzulla, doesn't it? You have 15 guys all telling you who to play and when to play him. That would piss me off if I was a coach.
No. It's like, have you guys noticed? You got to, like, see the Rob Williams thing. On certain nights, it'll be 18, 19, then you'll see a 27.
Right.
Then he'll drop back down to 21. So he just gets, like, I'm sure he gets a card that says, if you do this today, then tomorrow you're going to do that. So you got to kind of decide. Because I swear to you, in that Monday game against Charlotte, he sat Rob for a big stretch to keep his minutes down. So I don't know the information, but I'll just guess. 28 minutes against Golden State. Then, whatever the following game is, I think it's Toronto, watch him dial back down to 27. Joe Mazzulla wants to play Rob Williams 48 minutes a night. He's that good. But it's just a man. That's how you manage injuries. And that's where you see a Luke Kornet come in 4 minutes into the game because he's like, today, Rob can't play a ton of minutes. So that's managing the Rob Williams. And I would actually say it's probably better knowing in advance and having like a little bit of a guideline versus, kind of gauging that on the fly.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Brian Scalabrine, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
All right, that's Scal joining us here on the program. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks again to Scal for joining us in that last segment. It's Christian Arkin and Megan Ottolini here till 6 o'clock. Let's go to the phones. Yes?
Well, real quick. It does sound awful, doesn't it?
What does?
So if you're Brad, and maybe you're like Tatum's agent, and you're trying to work out how many minutes a night Tatum's going to play.
Right.
And you got 15 dorks. They're like crunching numbers. I'll never forget this. There was one time, I think it was 2018, 2019. Can't remember. Marcus Smart was coming back from an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at practice when I was at the Herald. And they were having him do the beep test.
Right. Yes,
and
of course.
And they had like four guys standing there. One with the stopwatch. One with, like a computer. One guy just with like a notepad with like graph paper on it. And I'm like, what the? This is ridiculous. Like, this whole staff for the beep test.
Yeah, you're testing his anaerobic.
Millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye.
That is right. His anaerobic endurance, we're measuring that.
It's not, like, I'm glad that they're trying to bring medical science into these decisions, but it's like, come on. No. Don't you dare go above 27 minutes with Rob. It's kind of...
That sounds from like a coaching perspective, you know? You're like, you're there. We got to get this guy into the game. I really could use Rob right now.
Actually, he's had enough cardiac output for 3 days, and you must put him back on the bench. And blah, blah, blah. You know, like that would annoy the hell out of me.
I bet Greg Popovich loves stuff like that, too.
Oh, I'm sure he does. And you know what? I'm sure Brad, like, humors those guys. Like, okay, fellas, I hear you. I hear what you're saying there with your fancy calculators.
I believe in science.
Golly, a lot of work really does go into this.
Yeah, but it does sound like an actual nightmare for Joe Mazzulla. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to the phones and talk to Paulie in the truck, who has a thought on the Patriots and Derek Carr. Go ahead, Paulie in the truck. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, what do you say, Christian? Hey, Mago.
Hey, what's up?
All right. Well, first on Derek Carr. No. He's a guy. He's like a dog or a horse that looks good coming out of the gate. And by the time he comes around the far turn, he's dead, and he starts to fade, and that's it.
Then they got
to
put him down right on the track, right?
I would rather have Mac Jones than him. I really would. Mac will fight, at least fight to the end.
Okay.
And last night I saw it was funny. I had a laugh that the only two teams that are ahead of us in the Vegas odds where Brady is going to go are the Raiders, who he grew up hating, or across the Bay in San Francisco, and the Jets, who as an adult. How many times have we heard Tom Brady come to the podium and say, "I hate the Jets"? He would have to stoop so low, either team, especially the Jets. You know, he's no way he's going to stoop and play for the Jets. It's just not going to happen.
I think that'd
so
be
the two leaders in the clubhouse.
Yes.
The two leaders in the clubhouse are number one right now, unless Belichick pulls his head out of his rectum and is working on this behind the scenes, which I hope he is. And I hope they're trying to get Bill O'Brien here, the right coordinator for Tommy and Gronk. But I think the leader in the clubhouse right now is Tennessee.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, Paulie. Tennessee Titans, leader in the clubhouse. I'll tell you what.
They're very lucid and put together. I think we cut it off right there.
For that division, if you're going to pick a division in the AFC, that's probably the one, right? That's probably the one you want to be in if you're Tom Brady. You don't want to be in the East. You don't want to be competing with Allen and, you know, the Dolphins and all that. You definitely don't want to be in the North with Joe Burrow and Jackson, assuming Jackson stays. And, for the West, you know, you got Mahomes there.
I think it's weird for him to have Vrabel as a coach.
Maybe. It might also be perfect.
Yeah, no, I'm
you know,
not.
Like,
I'm
that could be perfect for him.
Kind of, you know, sometimes working for friends.
I'll tell you what, I'm sure he's not thrilled with the wide receiver room over there, you know? It's not exactly a fun place to go if you're a quarterback likes to sling it. If you like to hand off, great. Mac Jones probably love it over there. Let's go to Mike, who's in Connecticut, who has a Celtics thought. Go ahead, Mike.
Good evening, both of you guys. Hope you have a good night. So I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, people that we can kind of pick up. And I'm not really on the Jakob Poeltl train. I think he's a quality player, but we don't need, like, another big stiff. I mean, he's better than Luke Kornet, but he's not really a different style player than Kornet. If you can't get a super athletic big to come in, kind of the backup Rob Williams, I think you've got to go for, like, you've got to almost got to copy the 07-08 method and go get, like, a tough veteran that's kind of been through the ringer a little bit. And a guy that I wouldn't mind trying to, like, kick the tires on again. I know he's a retread, but why not go get Jay Crowder?
That's fine with me.
He's a big physical guy. He can hit the three. You can kind of play him at the 2, 3, and the 4, depending on the lineup, especially if you want to go small ball. You can put him at the 4. He's not going to back down from anybody. He can knock down the shots. He's not happy out in Phoenix. And then another guy, and again, I don't know the salary cap implications, but another guy been tied to the Celtics in the last few years, like Harrison Barnes. He's got finals experience. He's a veteran. He's kind of been through with Golden State. He's another guy. He's a good stretch for. You bring him in here, he kind of fits that role of what we're looking for. So, I, you know, depending on all the buyout candidates that you're going to see coming in the next few weeks, right, those are the two guys
Mike, your phone's crapping out, but before it did, I thought you made some great points, and I thought those were two very good suggestions.
I thought he was going to say Daniel Tice.
No, not Daniel Tice. I'm all set with Daniel Tice.
Yeah. I like the Crowder idea.
I like Crowder and Barnes.
Milwaukee and the Sixers are both in rumors about looking to acquire him. So
I saw that.
Be around.
The Bucks are probably going to get him. Mm-hmm. I think it seems like there's a lot of Woj was reporting on the Milwaukee. I didn't see that about the Sixers, but I definitely saw that Milwaukee's in on him, and they'll probably do what it takes to get him. Milwaukee, they really go out and pursue teams and players, and they get who they want. I mean, they've been good about that in the past, and I think that you got to watch out for them around the deadline. They'll be an active team.
So Harrison Barnes is in the last year of his deal, currently $18 million cap hit, as opposed to Jay Crowder. Last year of his deal is a $10 million cap hit.
Okay. Money-wise, I mean, I think you could maybe make it work somehow if you wanted to. You'd have to make the right trade. I'd have to pop something into the trade machine and see what actually worked out there. You wouldn't be getting them straight up for Peyton Pritchard, that's for sure.
No.
The money wouldn't work there, but you could figure it out. You could figure out a way if you wanted to.
It's a fit, though. I like it.
And it's
like, Brad is clearly not opposed to retreads.
Right.
You know, Tice.
That's why
around,
I thought the caller was
going to
say Daniel Tice.
Yeah, like, he's comfortable with that.
Yeah. And I think sort of what this territory this goes into here, where you have to be careful, is what's it going to take? What are you going to have to give up to get a guy like that, a sixth man, or, you know, a second unit guy? And do you want to upset this apple cart enough just to do that? That's when the question sort of comes into question.
Would you put him at sixth man? Would you put him behind Grant?
Would I put Crowder?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have Crowder playing over Grant, yeah.
I don't know if I would. I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like they're actually kind of similar in what they bring to the table at this point.
Maybe. I think Grant's probably a better shooter, but I think that, I don't know, Crowder moves a little
Grant
bit better.
Grant can shoot from one spot on the court.
Yeah.
Corner
it's kind
office.
Of ridiculous.
Although, you know, Grant's mid-range jumpers looked pretty good this year. Maybe I'm giving Grant too much, not giving
Everybody
him enough credit.
Hates Grant. It's actually made me zag. And after hearing, like, seeing how willing Grant is to make an ass of himself, I'm kind of, like, swerving back around on Grant Williams.
Any teams interested in trading for him? Anybody want Grant Williams? I wonder about that. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. We'll come back, get to more of your phone calls, and we will reset on the news of the day. The Patriots got some names. In fact,
there's
we got
a new name.
There's a new name
there's
to
a
add
new name.
To throw into the ring. We'll tell you all about that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.